Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tomorrow, don't miss the return of former heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz as he takes on rugged veteran Chris Arreola, plus a stacked card of Mexican firepower. It all goes down tomorrow, live on pay-per-view. Buy now on foxsports.com/PPV and watch on any screen.
I am no less excited for round two of the draft today. It's just there's not going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken. So if you're a little bit of a nerd, if you're a draft nerd and I qualify, I love today. And I think the top 12 to 15 picks of the second round, there'll be Pro Bowlers in it. But it won't get the number because all the quarterbacks of note are gone. And, you know, the Baker Mayfield year, big television rating. When defensive linemen dominate the first, you don't get a big TV rating. So next year, two of the best players are defensive linemen. So, you know, you're not going to get this number. But I'm still excited. By the way, this Mother's Day, thank her in a big way. 30 tulips, $30. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. 30 assorted tulips, 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the code H-E-R-D. Mother's Day is May 9th. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So pretty interesting. The Broncos decided not to draft a rookie quarterback.
I know.
With the 9th pick last night, to my shock. They did take corner Patrick Surtain instead, which is a great pick.
Yeah, great player.
There's also some rumors the Broncos could be landing Aaron Rodgers if he is traded, obviously, which kind of feels like it might be a little meat to it since they did have the opportunity to take Mac Jones or Justin Fields there. But GM George Payton says the team's happy with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock as the two quarterbacks on their roster.
Drew's been working hard every day. Teddy's going to bring, you know, some experience to the room, some leadership. So we're really excited for both quarterbacks. We're always looking at every position, you know, and then quarterback's another one, but we like the two we have.
Yeah, well, when you say two before your quarterbacks, you really don't like either one. So
right.
We get it. Sounds great, but you don't have two quarterbacks. You have one quarterback or you have no quarterback, which is why this was an interesting move to me because Denver has notoriously struggled at that position, and you had two on the board who were very highly rated. I mean, you got to give a 6-round pick for Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Teddy's a nice player, but he's not the future of this franchise. And obviously, you wouldn't have done that if you believed in Drew Lock. So methinks that there might be a little bit to this Aaron Rodgers situation.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the salary cap hit for Aaron, you know, to make it work, there's 15 teams are out. They can't get him.
Yeah, right, of course.
And another 8 have, you know, I mean, there's just not that many openings. I mean, even Las Vegas gets mentioned, and they've got Derek Carr, who's more than capable. So the two that jump out to me are Washington and Denver. Now, because Chicago was in that group, but that's and by the way, Green Bay's not trading him to Chicago.
Well,
so,
I mean, why Washington either? Like, to Greg Jennings' point, they're not going to send him somewhere in the NFC.
Well, it's interesting. You would think no, but if the Giants did a deal with Philadelphia last night. Like, if you,
yeah, but that was a draft.
I know.
Like, that's like sending Aaron Rodgers, future first ballot Hall of Famer, just won MVP.
But listen, if you have an untenable situation and you get a ton of picks, it is interesting.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I would think that they would tend to lean towards an AFC team.
Given a choice,
yeah,
no question. You don't want to face Aaron again. You don't want him to be the roadblock to your success.
You know, we were talking about it in the break, and you know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and you know how it gets to this point. Again, it's the same thing we were talking about with the Seahawks, and this isn't the first time we've started talking about the relationship between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers deteriorating. I don't have sympathy for organizations when it comes to these situations. Like unless this star is a bad guy, which we know Aaron isn't.
He's difficult, but I don't think
bad. But there's a difference between being a bad guy and being difficult. Right?
Yeah.
You know a lot of talents. I know a lot of talents. I don't know a lot of not difficult talents.
I wouldn't say I'm difficult.
I don't think that you're difficult at all. I actually think, I don't think I'm very difficult. And I think most people who work with me would say that. I don't think you're very difficult
Thank
either.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, there's very difficult talent that I know, but that's what it is. And if you are in a talent business, which the NFL is.
By the way, the actor guy, great actor, Christian Bale.
Yes.
Okay, he's great in everything.
Yes.
He's got to deal with it. Give him a private room or something. Give him his own trailer.
Like, if you're in a talent business, then you understand you might just run into somebody who's great, who's excellent, but is also difficult. And sometimes you may have the pleasure of working with someone who's great and is not difficult.
Tom Hanks.
Sure. But I'm sure Tom has some standards for things that he wants as well. Maybe he wants his vanilla candles in his room. Make sure the vanilla candles are in his room.
Hey, it's like Van Halen. Green M&Ms or we trash the hotel room.
It's over. And I don't think that is unreasonable. Now, maybe I've spent too much time in LA, but in a talent business, you sometimes have to accommodate without reason. Like, this is what he wants. Make him happy. He's the MVP of the league.
But
he's in his prime.
You know,
he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You're not going to do better than him.
I know, but corporations don't like that. They like control. That's the nature of...
I understand that, which is why I have no sympathy for them. Because time and time and time and time
I would say this.
The talent is what provides the winning, which is what provides the existence of the corporation. So
you got a circular motion
of shaking hands.
It feels like a whizzing contest. So we're going to draft a quarterback.
Oh, really?
I'm going to say I hate you. Oh, really? We're going to draft a reach corner. Oh, really? It feels like now it's like... Oh, so you reached on a corner. I'm interested to see what Green Bay does today with their picks, because they got a lot of picks left.
But you know what threw me off yesterday was the report that they told Aaron Rodgers they were going to trade him, because you know how I feel about that. Organizations do not have to say things like that. You don't have to say, we're never going to cut you, man. We're never going to trade you, or we are going to trade you. Why paint yourself in the corner? There's no value to that. You don't know if you're going to be able to trade him. You don't know if you're going to have to run into a situation where you have to cut someone. Why do you make these promises? Because then you look like a liar, and that breaks trust even more. There's no value to that.
All right.
I just think it's like a situation where normally it just comes down to communication, respect, and you got to be a little accommodating to stars. It's just the way it goes. I love the Steelers pick yesterday. So the Steelers let James Conner go in free agency, needed to fill a hole at running back, and they did that. They selected Alabama's running back Najee Harris with the 24th overall pick.
Hard runner doesn't fumble. Hard runner.
This is the first time since taking Rashad Mendenhall in 2008 that they've selected a running back in the first round. GM Kevin Colbert said they were very excited that Harris was available for them, and that was a very easy decision to take him. I know this is the pick that Steelers fans wanted, and they're getting a very high-quality player and high-quality human being. He held a draft party yesterday at the homeless shelter he and his family lived at for several years when he was a child. He stuck around to take pictures with everyone, including the pizza delivery man. So he's a player that's also very involved in the community and wants to be a good representation for the team as well. I love this pick.
You know what? I can make an argument. Landon Dickerson from Bama, the center. I saw a stat this morning on Twitter that was very interesting, and they rated the Steelers' offensive line in run blocking. And they said, before you always blame running backs, and it was like 8th, 12th, 17th, 28th, 31st. Even Najee Harris needs alleys. Like,
no.
How much of it? They better address the O-line, Joy, because that O-line last year, for all those running backs, was bad.
They definitely need to address the offensive line. But I like that they took him, a high-level running back, in the first round, though, because the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers is a tough defense and great running backs, and they needed to get a running back. You can't ask Ben Roethlisberger to drop back and throw it 50 times a game. That's not sustainable, as they saw. And they have 7 picks remaining. Okay, so Tom Brady doesn't love draft day. He is the GOAT now, but he was not projected to be that good when he was entering the draft. Obviously, notoriously went in the 6th round. And he has a very famous combine picture, infamous, I should say, that's often used to motivate prospects as they start their NFL careers. He is not thrilled that it gets brought back up every year. He tweeted, annual post-Tom shirtless combine photo on Twitter day. My favorite. It's really good. He's so good on social media. Tom, I can relate. I get body shamed 24/7, so I understand. And they also put up some side-by-sides of Mac Jones, because he has kind of a... Yeah, there we go.
Oh, God.
I don't remember who tweeted it, but someone was like,
that's not the number three pick.
Belichick has a type. It's, you know what, though? It doesn't matter. We have this idea of what an athlete's body is supposed to look like. And obviously, Tom has changed his body since this infamous picture. But he also is very notorious for training in different ways. He's all about longevity and pliability instead of, you know, crushing weights. We've seen all kinds of different bodies. I mean, you look at an offensive lineman's body compared to a cornerback or a running back. Like, there's different positions. You don't have to be all muscles and abs. So be careful who you body shame, but it's he's so good on social media now. I love this new version of Tom.
Yeah, he's great. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's see. I think I read that. Let me read one more. ButcherBox.com/herd. 3 pounds of chicken breast, 2 pounds of pork chops, 2 pounds of ground beef free when you sign up today at ButcherBox.com/herd. You know, so it was interesting yesterday. Is Thomas ready? All right. Thomas Dimitroff is a long time. He was director of scouting for the Patriots as they built that dynasty up. Then he went to the Falcons, never afraid to make a big gutsy move, the Julio Jones trade, which, by the way, Julio is one of the great draft picks, wide receiver picks in the last 10 years. And Thomas is now joining us live. So it is, you know, Thomas, I'm going to throw a theory at one of my goofy theories. So here goes. So this will take me a minute, but Green Bay is different. They don't have an owner, and they have a very top five or six national brand. And I'm talking like Notre Dame football, Green Bay Packers, Lakers, Yankees. And I always feel like if you're a GM for the Packers, once they paid Favre and Aaron Rodgers, after their Super Bowls, they had to pay them, and they did not mortgage the future for either. And I've always felt like and this is weird, but the GM of the Packers is different. You could have gone to Arthur Blank or Robert Kraft and say, I got a question. But I feel like when you're the general manager of the Packers, you're almost like an executor of a will of a family company that you're not going to mortgage the future. This is a proud brand. Well, Tampa, the Glazers just want to win. They've been irrelevant. They've been lousy. And so we all bang on Green Bay, myself included, for not going for it with Aaron and pushing money down the road and mortgaging the future. But is it possible the Packers simply, Thomas, have a different responsibility to that community?
I don't think they have a different responsibility, Colin, to the community. They have the responsibility to win, and they have the responsibility and the reputation and the history of being so successful. This is a really important time for that organization, of course. And when you have people like Aaron Rodgers, and I will bring it a little closer to home, and people like Julio Jones talking about trades, as an organization, as a GM, that's complicated. You better make sure you have a way to figure that out, because both organizations, and in this case, the Packers are riding on this quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best ever to play in this game. And of course, they want and need to get this done. They have to be creative. They have to be in line with this. They have a head coach who is a good head coach, but he's that much better, of course, with Aaron Rodgers.
Would you call Aaron today if you ran the Packers? Would you call? What would you do today?
I would call. I'm a communicative person, Colin. That's vital. I'm sure they've been talking. Brian Gutekunst has been calling. I'm sure there have been discussions. In the very end, in today's world, I really feel like these marquee players, as much as they loved where they've been and they've done so well and made a lot of money, they don't like to be hamstrung in the very end. And again, I feel more and more of that with Julio and Aaron in this situation. These are two marquee players that are, you know, the organizations build a lot around them, of course.
Yeah. So I'm a Trey Lance fan, met the kid, just love him. I think he's thoughtful, eye contact, humble, smart. There's a lot to like on tape, film, obviously. I was a little worried that they'd given so much up to move to 3. I just couldn't get past this. Mac Jones in a division, Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year, Matt Stafford, and I got low ceiling unathletic guy, and what optically is going to that look like six times a year to my fans, to my – it bothered me. I thought my division's got world-class quarterback talent. Am I just talking – have you ever even considered something that – is that ridiculous?
No, like that's vital. I mean, I looked at that situation there. I was a bit surprised. I wasn't sure they were going to go in that direction. Everyone was talking about Mac Jones, of course. I mean, the idea of having an athlete like Trey, a guy that they could build with. I know they made a comment that Garoppolo is the leader going into the season and such. Help him grow and learn. You have to look at what's around you. That was a monumental move by an organization. John Lynch, and obviously, you know, where Coach Shanahan is, they know what they're doing. But they also know after bringing in Garoppolo how important it is to make sure that this quarterback decision works for them into the future.
You know, I said this yesterday, Thomas Dimitroff joining us. I said, listen, you only gave up a second for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what the Dolphins gave up for Josh Rosen and what the Patriots gave up for Mohamed Sanu, and neither really clicked. And I said to myself, you don't need to win the trade twice. Like, why get rid of Garoppolo? Keep him around until Trey's ready to play. I mean, not that anybody has to win the trade, but I don't see the value of getting a five for Garoppolo. I'd rather just keep him around until Trey can play.
100% agree. I think there were two organizations that were a really good fit for Trey Lance, and it happened to be at 3 and 4. Honestly, looking at my old organization, I was on the edge of my seat wondering what they were going to do. And if Trey would have dropped, would he truly have been the guy there versus Kyle Pitts? It's something that I'm sure is talked about in Atlanta all day here. He is fantastic as an athlete and an upside. He needs to be in an organization, like you're saying, with Garoppolo to help him. There's not a massive amount of pressure off get-go to be the guy. And you're exactly right. Keep him there. Let him grow with Garoppolo in the house.
Listen, I lobbied. My argument for Atlanta was, listen, there's two locks in this draft. Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts, they're not going to miss. Those guys don't even look like college players, right? And I, my takeaway was this. Arthur Smith is good with tight ends. Arthur Smith will elevate Matt Ryan to a pretty cool place this year. And you don't want to be the Packers where you draft Jordan Love and then Aaron Rodgers is the MVP and you're sitting there going, we could really use a receiver. Is that I like the Kyle Pitts move because I do think the new coach, I think you guys actually did a really good job at receiver and offensive line. I think if Kyle pops with Arthur Smith, this is a big time offense. So if you were in that chair again, could you, I know Frank quarterbacks are everything, Thomas, but boy, Kyle Pitts is unique.
Kyle Pitts is unique at so many levels. When you think about that offense with Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, who, by the way, I believe, even though it would have been a nice move to have someone in the wings, he can win a Super Bowl, and I believe that, Colin. You bring in a guy like Kyle Pitts, pair him with the receiver group as well as Hayden Hurst, who I think is a hell of a football player and athlete. Those two athletes at tight end. Look, you look all the way back when Tony Gonzalez was here in those early years for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
There was not a better situation for Matt to be popping it around the field, high security throws. This could be a very special thing for an offense that I think can be prolific.
So you made the playoffs six times, three NFC South Division titles, which is saying something against Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Obviously, I'm sitting there thinking, when I saw you were going to be on today, I'm like, listen, you're still young, you're in shape. You got to miss the juice. Draft night's crazy fun, right?
Crazy fun. First time in 30 years that I wasn't in a draft room last night. I wanted to text Arthur Blank and tell him, look, don't feel sorry for me. I'm doing okay. But obviously we didn't communicate on that level. But it's big. This was the first time, Colin, I was ever able to step back and look at everything from a sort of a general GM view instead of from the Falcons perspective. And it was very enlightening.
Now, you know Belichick pretty well. Do you think he was sitting there? Because I kept saying in my mock drafts, he's going to move up. He's got to move up. You got Josh Allen in your division. You know, I mean, this is what you're going to have to get through. Do you think he was close to moving up or he was just going to let it all play out?
I think they had, like, any time you're talking about Bill Belichick, as intelligent as he is and thought out as that organization is, they looked at it, they dabbled, they saw. I mean, what an amazing ending that they ended up getting a guy like Mac Jones at the 15th spot, not having to give away a whole bunch of compensation. still doing what they did in free agency. I think they were another group. They were another team that were winners in that round.
Ryan Pace, I've been critical of him. It took guts. Did you like the move to move up and get Justin Fields?
Love the move. Love the move for both him and Matt Nagy. Knowing that, you know, look, I've been on the hot seat many, many more times in 1 year. Believe me, we all are. When you don't win Super Bowls and things don't work out, you're drafting off the hot seat often. That was a big time move going for a player that I think can be special for them. Get him up there in that neck of the woods. I think it's great. Matt Nagy told me yesterday, he said, look, I had similarities when I was in Kansas City with letting a quarterback continue to grow. Another situation like that with what they're doing with their quarterback in Chicago right now. Give him a little bit of time. I think it took Patrick Mahomes, 17 games or 16 games in 17? I think they're hoping that they can do that in Chicago. Good, good move on their part.
All right. By the way, I was talking to Chris Ballard last year, and he says, you know, you draft guys, all you do is pay attention to the first round. He said, the first 15 picks of that second round, there are Pro Bowlers all over that place. Urban Meyer's got the first pick, Urban and his guy. Now, I like Liam Eikenberg, the Notre Dame tackle, but everybody's rolling their eyes at me this morning because they got Trevor. They're not very good at tackle. They've got two. They don't have a bell cow back. They got two backs. They need a lot of help everywhere. What would you do? They have two picks early second round. Your gut feeling on where Urban goes?
Look, I mean, there are some good football players there. And by the way, Profundi, you know our guy Chris Ballard, great guy, and I have a great deal of respect. And he was exactly right. So many good players there. I mean, Urban right now to do what he did in the first, you know, the first round, he and Trent Baalke. Man, I just think there are some really good players like Asante Samuel Jr. out there that I think they can continue to add to that defense, and that's a good football player to look at.
Thomas, it's great seeing you. If you're in L.A., call us. I'd love to pick your brain. You're a smart dude. You'll get back at this stuff. Next year, you'll be in a war room. That I know, and I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. Smart, smart guy. He mentioned Asante Samuel. It's almost like he knew something. Jason McIntyre's around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's not waste any time. Bring Jason McIntyre on. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. The former newspaper guy predicts the headlines for Monday. Round one of the NFL draft last night, rounds 2 and 3 today. Pro Bowlers everywhere, not as many quarterbacks taken. So here we go. Yeah. Tomorrow's headlines today on the Bears following the draft.
Yeah, Colin, Chicago needed to make a splash. You know, the coach and the GM are in trouble. The headline will be Soldier Fields of Dreams. I love the Chicago move, getting Justin Fields trading up. He was plus 1,400 to go to Chicago. Nobody saw this coming. Colin, you know, they went into this offseason thinking, okay, we got Andy Dalton, we got Nick Foles. That's like, what are we going to do tonight? Are we going to go to Applebee's or TGI Fridays? And then they decide, wait a minute, let's get Justin Fields. We're going to Sizzler, baby. Justin Fields, Colin, this is a kid who was rated ahead of Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school. He just torches the Big Ten in 2 seasons, was an awesome quarterback. I personally think he's a better prospect than Trey Lance and Mac Jones. I think this is a home run for the Bears. I don't think he starts immediately, but remember, Baker Mayfield didn't start immediately. Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes on down the list. I think Fields probably comes in sometime in October and plays well.
Agree. Tomorrow's headlines today, what's it going to be for Urban and the Jags following the draft?
Yeah, I did the Fox Sports draft cast last night. I took a lot of heat for this take. The headline will be Urban's new legend. I love Jacksonville next year, Colin. It's not just because the division stinks, but every year a team goes worst to first in the NFL. You look back a decade, last year, Washington, worst to first. And there is this new coach bump, right? Urban Meyer coming in. Remember, Frank Reich, new coach, playoffs. LaFleur in Green Bay, playoffs. Last year, Kevin Stefanski, playoffs. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are going to be fantastic this year. I know you love ETN. I don't like a running back early, but he gives them options. Okay, they had an undrafted kid who had a great season. You've got options back there. I like the addition of Jones on the outside with Shark and Chenault. The defense, eh, but the offense will score with anybody. Keep an eye on Jacksonville this year, Colin.
Yep, they got to get a tackle and a couple of corners, but I agree. Tomorrow's headlines today, what's it going to be for the Browns following the draft?
You know, listen, your love affair with Baker Mayfield, the love-hate thing you guys have going on, next season is going to be tough because the headline will be Brownies baked to perfection. Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Colin, there is a strong case right now that they're the second-best team in the AFC. This is not a hot take, okay? You look at their moves this offseason, everything Cleveland did, Colin, was geared toward how do we stop the Kansas City Chiefs. They went out, added two guys from the Rams secondary. Rams had the best defense in the league last year. Denzel Ward coming back. I like this draft pick of Newsom. They've got two kids out of LSU. Delpit was hurt last year. Greedy Williams promising. They've got like seven defensive backs.
I know.
They add Clowney to the line. I'm very excited about Cleveland. We know Stefanski is going to deliver. Colin, the only question, Jordan Palmer and I were discussing this last night. How will Baker Mayfield handle success?
Thank you.
When he comes off adversity, he's got to show him, I'm going to get those guys. Remember the last time he had a good rookie year? He led the league in commercials the following season and was pretty awful. Let's watch Baker Mayfield. That's the key to the Browns.
Tomorrow's headlines today, by the way, I agree. Headline for the Raiders following the draft.
Well, you agree with everything I'm saying today. I don't know about this one. The headline will be Last Vegas Raiders. Yeah, everybody loves a movie. Listen, I don't know what these guys are doing. People say they lose their minds when they go to Vegas for the weekend. It's like John Gruden is off the deep end. I don't know what's happening here. I don't hate Leatherwood. I just don't like him that early. Colin, Gruden is like the brand name guy who's got to go out and keep up with the Joneses. I got to shop at Clemson and Ohio State and like Alabama. Like, dude, just relax. I think this is a team that's probably the worst in the AFC West, Colin. I've got to do a 2022 mock draft for Fox Sports. Raiders are picking in the top five.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, the bottom line is Derek Carr hides a lot of issues. They got a lot of problems. And by the way, a bunch of good pass rushers went after they picked a guard. Yeah. Tomorrow's headlines. Okay, big news, Aaron Rodgers, strife, chaos. What's the headline for the Packers and Rodgers going forward?
You know, this storyline is incredible. We've seen it throughout the NFL history. Quarterbacks not always ending up where they had their great run. The headline will be Lambeau Lame Duck. Aaron Rodgers basically says, hey, give me an extension. The Packers huddle up and they're like, eh, you know, we drafted this guy, Jordan Love. Well, what am I doing here? I mean, you've got to take Aaron Rodgers' side here. He has total reason to be ticked off. Jay Glazer dove really far into this and essentially said, like, the GM went rogue and said, I'm going to just take Jordan Love last year. Aaron Rodgers said, bleep you. I'm going to win the MVP. Take us back to the NFC title game. Now show me the money. And they're not showing him the love. Colin, the Denver Broncos seem to be the number one destination. I can't find another one. Because they're not keeping him in the NFC, are they?
No, God, no, 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 no. Yeah. Unless you got a ridiculous offer, you're not going to trade him in division. You'd like to get him in the AFC.
Right. So the Denver Broncos make a ton of sense. John Elway, the ultimate closer. Remember, he was able to close Peyton Manning, 55 touchdowns, win a Super Bowl. Can he bring Rodgers to the AFC and the Broncos and win another Super Bowl? We know Elway cannot evaluate quarterbacks coming out of college. That's well documented. But he knows how to find, you know, Hall of Famers and bring them in.
Yeah, by the way, Belichick can't draft a receiver. This year he went and paid for wide receivers. Some guy, I mean, and listen, everybody's got weaknesses and strengths. Great stuff. Jason McIntyre, absolutely love having you on the show, bud.
All right, pal. Talk to you next week.
Supplement I take every morning. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping, 60-day money back guarantee. I will say this. The Cleveland Browns, more than any team in the league, the Chargers are second, took a complete, utter weakness and made it a strength. The Browns secondary is packed with talent this morning. Greg Newsom from Northwestern, Greedy Williams back, Denzel Ward. They went and got John Johnson, Troy Hill. Chargers, similarly, boy, did they get Patience paid off. They ended up getting Rashawn Slater, arguably the best offensive lineman, at their spot, didn't move up, left tackle, and that was their number one priority. Now they got to go to get a corner. But I agree. I honestly think this morning. I think Cleveland is absolutely the second best team in the AFC. Second most talented to Kansas City. And it's close. All right, for Joy, Ryan, everybody, enjoy the draft. This was fun. We'll see you Monday. It's the Herd.